voice. Are you this morning? Do you have any prayer requests this morning? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you here this morning. Just praise you and bless you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Father. The grace that you've shed on our lives, Father, we just pray that you would continue to be gracious toward us, Father. Show us our sins and our iniquities. Give us strength to be faithful. We pray for those mentioned this morning, especially for Brother David and Chloe, as they're traveling and as they share your good news, Father. Just give them courage and strength. Father, those that have left us or gone out from us, Father, you would just be merciful and gracious for them. In this time of salvation, before it's too late, we just pray that you would be with us all here. Give us strength to be faithful, ears to hear your word. Pray in Jesus' name. This morning we're ready for Job 14, am I correct? The things that Job asked of the Lord, and especially in verse 23, Job is asking, how many are my sins and my transgressions? Teach me what they are. He's basically asking for the grace of God, because the grace of God teaches us. So, if we're without the grace of God on our lives, then we're destitute. We're lost without it. We're like someone with a cracker in their ear and they can't see it unless someone tells you. Or maybe if you're someone that, well, none of you have eyes on your back, and someone might have in the past tried to stick a sticker or something on your back and then laugh at you. Have they ever done that? Maybe not, but you can't see it, and you don't know it's there until someone tells you. And so are we with our sins and iniquities. If no one points, if the grace of God isn't on our lives to teach us and show us where we're wrong, we don't even have the opportunity to change it. So, but by the grace of God, so that's why we should be like Job and be just praying for the grace of God, and that God would show us where we're wrong so that we can change. Okay, 23, how many are my sins? And then he goes on, wherefore hidest thou thyself from me, and deemest me thine enemy? This is the Septuagint, so it might be a little bit different from yours. Why do you hide yourself from me? And deemest me, because if he hides himself from me, he's like an enemy to me. I can't change if I don't know. Wilt thou be startled at me as at a leaf shaken by the wind? Or wilt thou set thyself against me as against grass borne upon the breeze? For thou hast written evil things against me, and thou hast compassed me with the sins of my youth. Thou hast placed my foot in the stocks, and thou hast watched all my works, and hast penetrated to my heel. I am as that which waxes old like a bottle, or like a moth-eaten garment. Now in 14, he just continues, for a mortal born of a woman is short-lived and full of wrath. Or he falls like a flower that has bloomed, and he departs like a shadow and cannot continue. Hast thou not taken account even of him and caused him to enter into judgment before thee? For who shall be purer from uncleanness? Not even one. If even his life should be but one day upon the earth, and his months are numbered by him, thou hast appointed him for a time, and he shall by no means exceed it. Do you understand what he's saying? You've set a time for all of us on earth, and we shall not go over that. There's a time for us to live, there's a time for us to die. Depart from him that he may be quiet and take pleasure in his life, so as a hireling. For there is hope for a tree, even if it should be cut down, that it shall blossom again, and its branch shall not fail. For though its root should grow old in the earth, its stem die in the rock, it will blossom from the scent of water and will produce a crop as one newly planted. See what he's saying here? If we cut down a tree, we cut it all the way down at the dirt. But what will probably happen for most trees anyway? What happens? If we don't do something else other than just cut down the tree, usually next spring or next summer, or if it's midsummer when you do it, what'll happen?
It'll sprout right back up.
And that's what he's saying here. There's hope for a tree. That root stays alive in the ground. If we don't do something special, I mean, we can put tordon on it nowadays or stuff like that, but if we just cut it, most of them, I mean, they might look dead for a while even, but they'll, he says here, with the scent of water, they'll sprout back out. They'll sprout back out. There'll be new life. So there's hope for a tree. It will blossom from the scent of water and will produce a crop as one newly planted. But a man that has died is utterly gone. Just showing a contrast here, according to what he can see. But a man that has died is utterly gone, and when a mortal has fallen, he is no more. For the sea wastes in length of time, and a river fails and is dried up. Man that has lain down in death shall certainly not rise again till the heaven be dissolved, and they shall not awake from their sleep. For oh, that thou hadst kept me in the grave, and hadst hidden me until thy wrath should cease. Thou shouldst set me a time in which thou wouldst remember me. For if a man should die, shall he live again, having accomplished the days of his life? I will wait till I exist again, then shalt thou call, and I will hearken to you. But do not thou reject the work of thy hands, but thou hast numbered my devices. Not one of my sins shall escape thee. So show me my sins now, so that I can repent, so that I can change. And thou hast sealed up my transgressions in a bag, and marked if I have been guilty of any transgression unawares. And verily, a mountain falling will utterly be destroyed, and a rock shall be worn out of its place. The waters wear the stones, and the waters wear the stones, and waters falling headlong overflow a heap of earth. And thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou drivest him to an end, and he is gone. Thou settest thy face against him and sendest him away. And though his children be multiplied, he knows it not. Once he's dead, he doesn't see what happens with his children. And if they be few, he is not aware. But his flesh is in pain and his soul mourns. questions? Okay, your memory verses were to be on what? Yes? Being deceived? Okay, why don't we start here today? This way.
24:4-5. And he answered and said unto them, Beware the woman, deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. believe in the pardon from the living God. In the pardon from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, that any of you might be hardened by this. Deuteronomy 11:16. Take heed to yourself and let your heart be if you turn aside to other gods and worship.
1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in his world, let him become a fool that he may be wise.
Galatians 6:3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Next week, I want you to find verses about what the fear of the Lord is. This will be mostly probably out of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is, and there's quite a few different ones, what the fear of the Lord is. We know it's the beginning of wisdom, but it also calls it other things. So let's see what kind of variety of verses you can come up with about what the fear of the Lord is. And for the bigger boys, also go into Proverbs and find warnings that Solomon was given to his son about immoral women. You're dismissed.